When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host Ashley, and today I have on Sarah Potter, a witch, psychic medium, tarot reader, and author of Sober Magic. Welcome, Sarah, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. I'm so glad we were finally able to coordinate this. I think we've been chatting online for maybe like a year or two trying to get together.
No, everything happens in divine time.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah is here today to tell us all about her new book, Sober Magic. But before we get into that, Sarah, do you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
I'd love to. I feel like it's always funny to describe yourself in a few sentences. And I feel like I don't want to just identify by my profession, but it's an easy way to do it. I feel like witchcraft helps me be present in joy. And I'm very inspired by my inner teen witch. So she comes through a lot in my creativity, and I try to create offerings and services in devotion to her as a muse. But it's really lovely. I love being a witch, and I love being a working witch. So it's a thrill to be here and to share that with you and your audience.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you so much for coming on. How long have you been practicing witchcraft for?
Oh gosh, a very long time. It's been several decades now.
Sometimes I feel like we practice or start practicing before we really have a title for it, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's really lovely. And I love how, like anything, we can grow with the practice as well.
Absolutely. So I guess we should turn to your book. So what inspired you to write Sober Magic? And what exactly is this book about?
Wow, I feel like this was the book I was destined to write, but I wasn't ready to for quite some time. I am sober. I'm in recovery. And something that I've realized through my recovery journey, like the longer I've been sober, that everything feels very intrinsically linked. I feel like I turned to substances to kind of like dull the noise and dull my own sensitivity. And I think that when you don't have the tools, you look for what's easy maybe, or what's working, even if it's not beneficial. And my psychic abilities have been with me from a very early age. I'd like to say since I was born. And that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. And I think being sensitive is wonderful. And now I really do see it as a blessing and a gift, but I did not when I was younger. And so kind of like the more time I have sober, the more I understand, like I turn to drinking to dull my senses and to kind of try to find that, you know, semblance of normalcy, I guess, this elusive normal I was chasing. And then I realized that the reason why I've been able to stay sober as long as I have is because of my spiritual practice, like being a witch, and tarot has really been such an early ally in my recovery. Now, I've been sober about 8.5 years now, and it
Oh,
was right around.
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
That's a
you. It
long time. Congratulations.
Thank you. It really is my proudest accomplishment, and it allows me to do the work I do and to really, I feel like, be in the energy and take and remain steady and grounded, and also understand that sensitivity is a gift. And so I had this situation, which I talk about in my book, where it really brought me back to what it was like to be drinking or be out of my body. And that's when it literally hit me. I talk about in the book, I have this like kind of like, I don't know if it was a psychic attack or I just was hit with so much information at once, which is like my day to day. I am picking up on a lot, but I've learned boundaries through recovery and sobriety, and I've also learned my energetic boundaries. And it's when it hit me that, oh, like I've been able to stay as sober as long as I have because of my spiritual practice and because of a dedicated practice with tarot. And I was like, I think this is my book. And I texted my agent. I was like, I know what my book's going to be. And I kind of like outline this form of an idea. And he's like, this is your book. And so the more I traveled into the proposal, the more it took form. So this is really, I share the first year of being sober, and I link tarot cards to the 12 steps in recovery because I really do think that much like tarot's Fool Journey is such a beautiful framework for storytelling, I also think the 12 steps provide a framework for understanding yourself and understanding how you relate to the world, how you can take ownership of your actions and your energy. And once I put the tarot cards almost like delineated next to the 12 steps, I was like, how is this not being correlated before? This makes so much sense. And I was so inspired by it because these are the two, I mean, two of the biggest things in my life. And to see them interconnected was, I mean, honestly, it's just like very cool and exciting. And I share rituals that I did during that first year of sobriety, but I also expanded upon them because when I was writing this book, it was like I had like 6, 7, 8 years of recovery. And so you just understand it more. And so that is what the basis of my book is.
Oh my gosh, what an awesome explanation. I have so many follow-up questions.
Oh, that's good because sometimes, you know, when you're so in it, sometimes I'm like, oh my, is this making sense?
Oh
Like,
no, it is. So I guess one of the questions I have, do listener or do readers need to have an understanding of tarot to read the book and understand it, or is it broken down as they go through it?
you don't need to have any prior experience with tarot or even witchcraft to pick up this book. I want people to feel invited and included, to be curious. And so I talk about every card in the tarot deck, and I do kind of use the lens of sobriety. And really, my goal with this book is for it to be for anyone who feels like they feel a lot. If you feel sensitive, I want this book to be a resource for you. And what I like about it too is that if you are really seasoned in tarot, I'd love to share how I see the cards through the lens of sobriety and bring that as like an additional layer of meaning to these cards, because that's something I love about tarot, is it I see it as its own energetic entity, and we can look through so many different perspectives with the cards.
So I know you referenced the 12-step program, and I have heard that 12-step can be a little Christian. I don't know if you agree with that. I haven't personally gone through the 12-step program, but so I guess my question is kind of twofold. If you agree with that, would you say that this book kind of puts like an esoteric spin on that with involving the tarot?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I remember when I was new in recovery, and this is also not my first time getting sober. It took a couple tries to get here. And something that I always found as an obstacle was it didn't feel like it was for me because of this Christian lens. Now I come to understand that that was really an obstacle I was putting up in my own way. But again, something that's really important to me is that people feel included and welcome. And I wanted to share that more like pagan lens of the 12 steps. And we're seeing it more and more and more. There's a lot of inclusion, and there's so much more beyond some of the more, I think some of the bigger 12-step recovery groups, which I think are wonderful. But, you know, I think if you need to find something, you should feel like you can walk through the door. And if an esoteric perspective feels more welcoming to you, it feels more welcoming to me, I hope you find that here.
Did you find that there was a gap in your journey to sobriety that maybe there weren't as many resources for those who are more spiritual or pagan in their views on life, I should say?
When I first got sober, I did find that. And to be honest, I didn't even think to look for that. I feel like I just wanted something, like I needed help and I needed support. And I just looked for the closest tool I could find, which was a traditional AA program. And I do still attend AA meetings. I feel like when anyone invites me to a meeting, I go and I feel welcome and I feel included. I know it's not the case for everyone. And I really do believe like we need to have support systems and no one should feel unwelcome. And the more I worked on this book and the more I researched, that's when I found the resources that was a more pagan lens for recovery. And there are some great books out there. And I wanted to write something through that lens of tarot because that like really is like my language that I connect with, and I couldn't find what I was looking for. So I really wanted to create something that I wished had been there for me in like very early sobriety and offer my perspective on it.
Oh, I think that's such an incredible reason. And I think the fact that a book like this is existing is amazing. I mean, alcohol and other substances are so normalized in society, and it's hard to sometimes find resources that are for more pagan type audience. So the fact that you put this together through your own experiences and your own journey, and you have that experience to convey to the listeners or the readers, I should say, I think that's really incredible that you're putting your heart and soul out there and that people have this sort of resource available to them, especially when I know you didn't necessarily have that for yourself.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's only through recovery and sobriety that I think I could get to this level of vulnerability, because so many emotions come with sharing this story. I'm not going to lie. There is some fear, but I'm also really excited too. And this writing this book has felt like a gift back to my higher power and the goddesses who have guided me through sobriety. And I really do believe that sobriety's given me so much. Being a witch has given me so much. I want to give something back, and I know what it's like to feel too sensitive for this world. And you know, alcohol's an easy tool to reach for, but I'm someone who's not their best when they're drinking. And if you can drink, by all means, please do. But if you're thinking about what life could look like without drinking, I think a spiritual support is just a lovely enhancement to the journey.
Oh, well, we're going to continue this conversation in a moment. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. All right. And welcome back. So one of the things that your synopsis for this book talks about is about intuition. And I want to ask, how can somebody start to reconnect with their inner voice, especially when they've been numbing their emotions with alcohol or other substances?
Well, I think that one of the best ways to do that is to just create space. And stillness can be quite overwhelming. I think stillness can feel really intimidating. But just creating the opportunity to get to know yourself and to hear that intuitive voice is so powerful. And that's what I did in early sobriety. I share this in my book, but I feel like it's really pertinent to this question. I think find a tarot deck that you love, something where the imagery feels exciting to you, it feels inspiring, and just give yourself a few minutes in the morning to pull a card. And it doesn't have to be that deep. It doesn't have to be a big production. It's just you and your cards. Take a few breaths. Maybe it's pose the question of what do I need to know today, or how can the card support me today? And pull a card and see what it's telling you. And I like to just like journal a little bit, say what the images are bringing up for you if you aren't familiar with tarot. And you can look it up, you can reference a book, or just see what it's telling you and then check in again at the end of the day. See how that card's wisdom came through for you. And I think that's a lovely practice to bring in to really trust your inner voice and strengthen your intuition.
Are there any specific tarot cards that you find especially supportive in a sober journey?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention temperance.
That's true.
Our card of balance and moderation. I think that's a wonderful card to kind of pull out and keep on your altar, keep on your windowsill, somewhere where you're going to see it and be in devotion to the energy of that card. I also really, I personally related to the High Priestess and the Empress in my early sobriety, because that High Priestess was bringing me back to that intuition. And the Empress was reminding me to nurture myself, to really practice self-care, and to find what nourished me now, and allowing that to be flexible and change as what I needed shifted and changed.
How can the tarot cards help somebody process difficult emotions, or if somebody's really having a craving during their sobriety, how can the cards help them with that?
Well, I feel like each card holds such a multitude of meanings. And what I love about tarot is it reminds me of the universal human experience, that we all come from different situations, different backgrounds, and there's something about being human that I think we can all relate to. And the cards really bring me back to that. I think that being part of a community is really important as well. And maybe tarot can lead you to a community. I think there's so many resources now online, and we're seeing a resurgence, a real like rise of people doing self-reflection and spiritual work, personal growth. It's, in my mind, I think there's an abundance of opportunities. So let tarot take you where you need to go. And I create a lot of rituals and practices where you can use the cards. So I hope that those can be an ally when you're feeling like, oh, I could just like really tap out. Something that really helped me was like, okay, this is really difficult right now, but I learned how to get comfortable in discomfort. And tarot always reminds me, the Wheel of Fortune, nothing stays the same forever. The only constant is change. And tarot really helped me understand how I can ride that out. And that kind of like, oh, I'm feeling shy, or I'm feeling uncomfortable in public. And it's like, just give it 15 more minutes. Try something else. You know picking up a drink isn't working. pick up a tarot card. I don't know, meditate with it. Do something. And I think that the power of confidence that can come from knowing that you can do something else. There are other opportunities, there are other tools, and being able to be curious and discover what else could work is really empowering.
I love that you mention community. I know I have had a lot of people who listen to this show talk about how they're trying to find a coven to work with or people in their local community to work with. And I think that's pretty common to find a lot of people along this path, like wanting to connect with others. And there's, of course, also people who want to do, you know, have their own practice as a solo practice. And that's completely fine as well. I know when I was getting into witchcraft more seriously as I got older, I definitely wanted a community, and I was very happy to find one. I don't think I would have progressed as much as I did without them.
Yes. Well, it's so funny you mentioned that, because one of the questions I get the most as well is how to find a coven, how to find a community. So I wrote a whole chapter about that in this book, and there's a spell to call in your community, with also practical applications of the spell as well, because I think it's really important to find each other. I know before I got sober, it was really lonely. And I really do feel that the opposite of addiction is community. So we really do need each other. And it's hard to put yourself out there. I think it's an act of vulnerability, but sobriety has taught me that it's wonderful to be courageous and to do things that feel difficult and to have the experience that you can do it. And it really builds confidence. So that's the thing. I mean, you will see. I feel like just like witchcraft, sobriety touches many aspects of your life in wonderful ways.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention a spell to find your people, essentially, because I forgot that I had done a spell just like that. And within a very short period of time, I got initiated into my current tradition. Well, I got into the training group that then led to the initiation, but I found them very quickly. So as somebody who has done a similar spell, I can say they definitely work.
Amazing. I do believe when we tell the universe what we want, when we set the intention, we are shown maybe not what we thought we were looking for, but it's always there. And I love that you had that experience too.
Yes. And if anybody's listening, just to give people a little bit of a helping hand, there is a website named Mandragora Magica that list a lot of your local covens. It's separated by country, by state, and if anybody's looking for something, there's a website you can check out. It's kind of like the new Witch Fox, if you remember the Witch Fox days, anybody listening.
Wow, that's so wonderful. What an incredible resource.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very handy. It's a great website. I can't recommend it enough. So moving on to another question, how do you navigate social situations where alcohol is present, or any substance for anybody listening may be present, while trying to stay true to your magical and sober path?
It's so funny, and believe it or not, and a few years ago, I wouldn't believe what I'm about to say, but I don't really even notice it anymore. And what I think is so lovely is, I mean, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I'm having more fun than ever before. I know what it is that I like and what I don't like. I know what my own personal limitations are now and what I'm kind of like able to put up with, maybe is the right way to say it. But I really don't notice it anymore. But what I can tell you is that there are so many lovely mocktail options now. So when I do find myself at a bar or a concert venue or even a party, there's so many options to choose from. You can feel really celebratory without alcohol. And it's really lovely. I mean, so many companies send me spirit-free beverages. So I've tried a lot of them. But also, I just enjoy like sparkling water. It's really lovely. And so many places also even serve herbal tea at night, and I'm quite happy with that. And I think it's really more about sobriety's taught me that I can be fully present. So I don't find myself in situations where I need to dull my senses or kind of energetically leave the room, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And you know? I love waking up feeling good. I really do. And I love being fully present. And I love having the full experience. Like, if I'm going to see my friend's band play, I want to remember the concert. I want to remember all of the good times I'm having with my friends. And what I think is so lovely about the longer I'm sober, like, the more wonderful experiences I have. And of course, like, you know, when you get sober, not all of your problems go away, but you do learn. I feel like with the 12 steps, you learn how to handle them. And I really learned my own capability. And I don't know, I'm having so much fun. I want to experience it fully. So I don't feel like I'm ever in a situation where it's like, oh, this would be so much better if I had a drink. If something's going to be so much better if I had a drink, I'm not there.
I got to say, I love a good mocktail, but I wish these bars would stop charging alcohol prices for a mocktail.
Oh, that is frustrating. That definitely is frustrating. And, you know, I think there's a lot of artistry there. I always love the kind of herbal infusions and the botanicals, but gosh, everything is so expensive now.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I was going to say, I have been unintentionally sober the last couple months. I had my gallbladder taken out over the summer now. And a little bit leading up to that surgery through now, I'm still recovering from the procedure. But I just cut out alcohol for quite a bit. And I got to say, I was only a social drinker. I only really drank if like my coven was over, or if we like went to a festival or something. I never like really drink much outside of that. But I gotta say, I loved hanging out with friends and having no hangover the next day. It was fantastic.
Right? Isn't it lovely?
Such a nice feeling.
Well, I don't know. There's something, you know, I grew up like very into like punk music and very DIY. And there's something, I was such a night owl, especially when I was drinking. But there's something that I feel like is so subversive about being an early bird now. And like, I just love getting up early. I love watching the sunrise. It's just, and it makes me feel like, wow, like I get to choose to do this. And I love a late night every once in a while still. Like, I love staying out really late at the Chelsea Hotel and people watching, and they have excellent mocktails. But, you know, I don't know what it is. There's like this inner like punk spark of like, so subversive of me to be getting up so early and enjoying it.
I understand. So I also wanted to ask, for those who are already in sobriety, how can they use their book to deepen their magical practice?
What I love about both tarot and the 12 steps is that you can begin again. Like, there's new layers to uncover. And, you know, I really enjoy hearing about other people's practices. I enjoy hearing what works for them, what they like, what they're drawn to. So my goal with this book was to share rituals and tarot spreads that can enhance someone else's sober journey and give them something else to think about. And, you know, I welcome anyone who's reading it to put their own remix on the spells as well and see what works. I'm a big believer in that, recovery phrase, take what you need and leave the rest. So I hope that that approach can be applied to this book as well.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and discussing your book. I had such a pleasure talking to you about this.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and letting me share this with you.
Absolutely. Could you please tell the listeners where they can find you and your book?
So I am on every social network at I Am Sarah Potter, Sarah with an H. I have a Substack that goes out weekly with spells and tarot spreads. And I lead monthly full moon rituals at the Asbury Hotel in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And my book comes out with Running Press. It's Sober Magic. It comes out December 2nd, 2025. Pre-orders are open.
Amazing. Well, if you could get me a link for the pre-orders, I would be more than happy to put that in the episode description.
Thank you so much. I will. I'll send that over to you.
Amazing. And for anybody listening to me, or to anybody trying to find me, you can find me at Seeking Witchcraft on Instagram, Seeking Witchcraft Podcast on Facebook, or if anybody wants to help support the show, you could do so on patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. And Sarah, one more thing before I let you depart is if you could give one piece of advice to a beginner, does not have to be related to anything we spoke about today, what would that piece of advice be?
Be curious. I think it's wonderful to ask questions and to follow your inner spark. So if something feels exciting, it is exciting. So take a leap and see where it takes you.
Amazing. I love that.
I'm very inspired by that Fool energy in tarot.
Would you say that's your favorite one?
It really became my favorite through writing this book, honestly. Aww. But it's like, you know, it's hard to pick a favorite over your 78, you know, 78 guides. But that one's been speaking to me a lot lately.
Have you ever seen the movie Now You See Me?
Oh my gosh. That is secretly one of my absolute favorite movies.
Have you seen the second one?
Of course I have.
Do you remember the little snippet at the end of that movie about the fool and the tarot?
I was thrilled. That is so funny. I like, that is truly like one of my secrets that I reveal when people are very close to me, but I felt very comfortable revealing it here.
Oh, I honestly love those movies. I saw the second one in theaters. If anybody's listening who has not seen the movie, it's a good movie. I like it. But for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, there's a line in the second movie and I just pulled up. So I'm going to say what the quote is. And the quote is, "Do you know why the fool is the most powerful card in the tarot? Not because the person who draws him is a fool. He's a fool because he's a clean slate and therefore you can become anything." So the fool is a great card to get in the tarot.
It really is. And I love magic. Like, obviously I love witchcraft, but like magicians, I think it's so thrilling. And that movie, if you haven't seen it, you must go see it like right now.
Oh yeah. CGI heavy, especially in the second one, but honestly I really enjoyed it.
I really did too. I can't wait for the third one.
There's a third one coming out?
Oh yeah, it comes out in November.
What?
I think, do you want to come up here? We should go see it together.
Yes, I will get hop on the train. I'm so excited. Amazing. That there's a third one coming out. I did not know that. Oh my gosh, there's a trailer. Oh, I'm going to have to watch this.
Oh yeah, it's always good to have something to look forward to. And I cannot wait for the third Now You See Me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's such like a campy movie and I love it. I don't know. I really love this movie a lot.
It is. I think I'm going to watch it again tonight. And I just did a rewatch last month, but it's so good.
Well, anybody listening, go watch Now You See Me and also pre-order Sarah Potter's book, Sober Magic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And thank you everybody for listening and I'll chat with you very soon. Bye.
Bye.